you know when Golgotha, when Jesus was dying, the whole thing went black? There was no light. And fire came down out from God and struck him. So much so that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the midst of the worst storm of history, when Jesus died, he did it for the plague of what? Our hearts, sin.
We are just like Pharaoh, aren't we? We have that hard heart. Hard enough that it requires a walk to the cross. It requires our elder brother, the Lord Christ, hanging and dying there, taking the punishment, the wrath of God for us, that we might be made right before God. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We see all of this again in our plague series, The Perfect Storm, Exodus 9, verses 13 through 35. Here's Chris.
This is why we're studying Pharaoh. He's an exception to the norm. The Lord is using him as an exception to teach people something about the human heart. That's what Paul said in Romans 9. I am giving him the fullest blows of all my plagues right there to his heart. I'm going to strike that heart like nobody has ever been struck before. It will be the deepest blows that a human heart can take. This blow will cut deep. Now, all of you would say, well, he's done. I mean, he's just done, right? Anyone who has those kind of blows from God to the heart, plagues means blows, I'm sending them all. Now, in the last plague, you remember there was a little phrase that I really developed. No one could stand before Moses. Notice how this one begins. Moses, go stand before Pharaoh. But I want everyone to look at verse 16. There's a play on this word stand that, again, you don't pick up in your translations. For this reason, look at it. Our version says in verse 16, for this purpose I've raised you up. You know that because Paul cites it in Romans 9. For this purpose I've raised you up to show my power. The Hebrew here reads, for this purpose I have made you to stand. There it is. No one else could stand. God enabled Pharaoh to stand for a purpose. Here's what Moses wanted us to see. The heart is so incredibly hard. Pharaoh's been hardening. At the end of this one, he'll harden it himself. God is keeping him standing to show you the human heart. That is so important for us. There's no reason, there's no ability any human being could take all this. And in fact, everyone in the next plague is begging him, what are you doing? Stop this. We're going to be pummeled. And God says it in verse 15. By now, I could have put an end to this a long time ago, Pharaoh. Moses, you tell him. I could have put an end to this real quick. I could have sent severe pestilence. It would have been done right away. I could have wiped you out at any time, my friend. But I want something else to happen here. I want people to study your heart in history. I want people to know about Pharaoh in history. Everyone knew that Pharaoh believed his own heart was sovereign. Okay, keep that in mind. He had taken that role to himself. But you were so hard. I want everyone to know, but I have so much power over you that I sent all my plagues against your heart, and the only way you stood was because of me. When any human being by now would have caved and died. Paul was so moved by that in Romans 9. He says, for this, the scripture says to Pharaoh, quoting this, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he wills and he hardens whomever he wills. God says, I'm doing this to show my power. Now, did that happen? Yeah. God saves probably 2 million people out of there. And they travel through the wilderness, and they make it to the borders of the promised land. And remember what happened? Rahab, we have heard how the Lord, they're all talking about the Lord. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came up out of Egypt. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. It got to our hearts. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is, listen to this, isn't this amazing? He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That's what people were saying in Canaan. Gibeonites said the same thing. The Philistines said the same thing. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of this God? This is the God who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Oh, they all knew about the Lord. Everyone knew about the God of the Hebrews. His name was spreading everywhere. His fame. I have heard more criticism in my life of God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. And because of that, nobody has seemed to understand why he did it. Why did he do it? I want my name known. Why did God want his name known? To be a teaching tool for everyone. One day Solomon built a temple. I want you to listen to the language of this. This is 1 Kings 8. When he built that temple, this was his prayer of dedication. Blessed be the God of Israel, who spoke by his mouth to my father David, with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought up my people Israel out of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. Same thing. Who keep your covenant and your mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to his ways, whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. That they may, here it is, fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name, he heard about it. For they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple. Hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you and do as do your people Israel. Why is he doing this? So that everyone would come. Everyone would hear. Solomon prayed that they would come hearing that name. This is how he was made famous in the earth. God wanted people to know the plague of their, did you catch that? Of their own heart. And come to him and seek forgiveness that all nations might know his name. Plague of the heart. It's everywhere. God has just restrained it. But if he lift hell's lid, you'd see this all the time. When Pharaoh's name would be mentioned in future generations, everyone knew what a fool this man was, the heart in his heart. What a fool Pharaoh was. What a fool Pharaoh was. Everyone talked about what a fool Pharaoh was to harden his heart against Yahweh. And it begged the question, what's my heart like to Yahweh? I don't want to receive plagues to my heart. Pharaoh's heart is hard. Look at God's power. Now what happens at this point? As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, and you won't let them go. You continue so far to do this. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I'm causing very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. It was a known saying in Egypt that the Pharaoh in current office would accomplish something in Egypt as such as had never been known since the founding of Egypt. That's why you had a constant building project and greater and greater and greater and greater. They were addicted to growth that way. You tell him, I'm going to do something in Egypt he's never seen before, ever. I'm going to rain down on him, literally, I could have titled my sermon this, Great Balls of Fire, but you guys wouldn't have taken that very seriously. I'm going to light the ground up. Everything in the field's going to be lit on fire when these balls hit. It's like a cosmic gun shooting down hailfire on them. It's a perfect storm that's described here. Nobody had ever seen it in the history of the world like this. They had all sorts of gods of the sky. Shu was the god of the air and sky. Holder of the heavens was represented as a man with his arms holding the weather. Think of how obsessed we are with the weather. It's the first thing you're going to talk about afterward, by the way. The weather. Tefnut was the goddess of moisture. There was Seth, the god of winds and storm and evil and darkness and strength and war. But do you know who probably was? At least we know from history this god made its way into Egypt at some point. It's hard to determine exactly when. You know who? Baal. Oh, you know a lot about Baal in history. God would have a showdown with him at Mount Carmel. Baal. Great Baal, they called him. The source of the winter rain storms, spring mist and summer dew, which nourished the crops. Baal was known to be the one who was the rider on the clouds, which the Psalms pick up, by the way, in direct polemic against Baal. Most active during the storms, he was known as the Lord of heaven and earth. He was the god of thunderstorms, the most vigorous and aggressive of the gods, the one whom mortals most depended, they said, known as Most High Master, Conqueror of Warriors, Mightiest, Most High, Supreme, Powerful, Thunder. Moses, you go in there and you stretch out your rod toward heaven, and then you're going to watch something happen. Moses does it. And we read, the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. It was heavy. It keeps telling us heavy, heavy, heavy. Fires everywhere. The whole place is being lit up like Sodom. An arsenal of meteor-sized fire hail from heaven and brimstone crashing to the ground. It says it was so bad, it split apart every tree. Even their crops were hit. See, the Egyptians, that was everything. The flax and the barley were struck, but not the wheat and the spelt. The reason that's added is to tell you God's saving a little bit for the next plague. I wish I could capture what the storm was like. Something has to strike people's hearts, right? Something has to wake them up. It's remarkable to me how many times the scriptures use the storm to do it. My favorite is Psalm 29. You know it. If you have your Bibles, you can look at it. The psalm takes you out into the middle of a storm. It's the one storm psalm. It describes how awful it is. The voice of the Lord is, you know this, is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. These awful storms would come up over the Mediterranean Sea, and you'd look out over the Mediterranean, deep blackness, pitch blackness, and you see a firestorm coming. We hate seeing on the news these tornadoes rip through the Midwest. Deep within the Mediterranean, a storm begins to form in Psalm 29, and it raises up like a black blanket of terror, and it comes to the shore in a hurricane-like fury. It sweeps down, and it goes through the whole strip of Canaan, and it lays everything wasted. Everything is laid bare in the psalm, utterly destroyed. The imagery here is, in the scriptures, is God is riding on the storm. They're hurled up in the atmosphere, and the Lord is riding, and under his feet is black, are blackness and lightning and fire and thunder. Seven times in that psalm, the voice of the Lord is used. Job was so taken by this. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice. The only thing in nature you can understand by the voice of the Lord, boys and girls, is thunder. It's the effect. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice, the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth unto the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with majestic voice. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things in which we cannot comprehend. Psalm 29 says it comes on to the land, and the first great foe is the cedars of Lebanon. I won't get into their dimensions. It splits them apart and splinters them into bits. The mountain, Hermon, great Mount Hermon, skips away like a calf at the presence of the Lord. And then it comes down the land. The whole wilderness floor shakes. Everything in its path is stripped bare, and the psalm has one great effect and one great thing it's doing. Consider his power. If I could use the old word that we don't use anymore, God is terrible in his holiness. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The psalm ends by saying, all of God's people recognize the storm and they run to the temple and they say, glory! And the psalm ends by saying they're sheltered with peace. Notice verse 26 of our text. In Goshen, there was no storm. You say, if I saw a storm like that, it might affect my heart. Right? There was a storm. Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The mountain quaked. The blast of the trumpet sounded long. And Hebrews tells us when they heard the voice of the Lord, they begged that the word should not be spoken anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned. So terrifying was it that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. What did the storm reveal? That storm was intended to show people the plague of their hearts. I believe that's the question and that's the issue of this text this morning. Verse 19 is the test. The Lord says, listen, you go tell him, hail is going to fall on man and beast, but whoever, if you gather them from the field and bring them in, they'll be sheltered. Notice this. He who feared, verse 20, the word of the Lord, among the servants of Pharaoh, these are the ones being saved. He who feared the word of the Lord gathered up his livestock and he fled into the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and livestock in the field. You realize the greatest issue for your life is whether you are hearing and fearing the word of the Lord when it's proclaimed to you. And not being critical, but receiving it as it is in truth, the gospel of Jesus to save you. Some will hear the word of the Lord and they'll run to Christ. Some are going to be really belligerent and stiffen their necks and not come in. And I think, why would you do that? Why? Crescent City, I went up there one time and I heard a story that when the great tsunami hit of Crescent City, I think it was in 69, everyone was told that the storm was coming. Crescent City's full of bars. And all the people in the bars said, really, a storm's coming? They took their seats and they sat out by the water while they drank and watched the storm coming. And they were swept away. You can read about it. Revelation 16, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from heaven, from the throne, saying, it's done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake, as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And great hail fell from heaven upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men then did what? Blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. The storm wiped out Egypt. There was only a little bit left, a little bit. The great storm in history, there was one greater storm in history. You know when it was? Golgotha. Greatest storm history had ever seen. Do you know when Golgotha, when Jesus was dying, the whole thing went black? There was no light. And fire came down out from God and struck him. So much so that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the midst of the worst storm of history, when Jesus died, he did it for the plague of what? Our hearts, sin. God sent fire down. And then in kindness to this world, then in kindness to this lost world, did what? Gave him the name, of course, which is above every name, published that name to the ends of the earth. Who doesn't know the name of Jesus today? It's everywhere. And he has declared that whoever comes to him will be saved from the storm. Pharaoh sends and calls for Moses. I've sinned. My people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord. There may be no more thundering and hail, for it's enough. Moses says, you don't fear the Lord. You don't fear the word of the Lord. I'm going to go outside the city. I'm going to spread out my hands. And I'm going to stop this so that you may know the earth is the Lord's. Now imagine this. The hail's coming. Moses walks out into the middle of it, puts up his hands, prays, and it stops. That you may know that the earth is the Lord's. There's only one who calms the storm. And he showed it to you in the Gospels when Peter was terrified. And he said, calm. What do we need? Well, let all the house of Israel therefore know certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, what do we do? Repent. Turn away from your sins. Be baptized. Take the water, have it put on you to symbolize, signify your new identity with Christ. Repent, be baptized, and you believe this gospel. He who hears my word, says Jesus, my word, and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Did you hear that? Whoever hears my word and believes has it, you'll never face the storm. But don't be like Pharaoh. Don't refuse him who speaks. Confess the plague of your heart. And instead of hardening it, may your prayer be like David's today, because the Lord loves this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then I will tell others of the joy of your salvation.
Nothing like seeing the gospel in the Old Testament, that sledgehammer of the Old Testament that would soften our hearts to receive the grace through Christ found in the new. You are listening to Pastor Chris Gordon with Abounding Grace. Our time together today in Exodus, focusing in on the 10 plagues. If you'd like to review any of today's message or the entire series, we would invite you to reach out to us at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us at Abounding Grace, Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. As we close out our time today here on Abounding Grace, I'd like to remind you that this is a listener-supported ministry. As you come alongside and partner with us financially, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station and on the World Wide Web. Now, as a way of saying thank you for your support financially, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you a thumb drive that contains all of the messages from a recently delivered series called How to Pray. If you've ever struggled in your prayer life, if you've ever longed for a deeper prayer life, this series is right up your alley. Again, recently delivered by Pastor Chris, dives into the how of prayer, who we pray to, and encouragement along the way to continue and press into a deeper prayer life. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you this thumb drive that contains all of the MP3 sermons as taught by Pastor Chris. You're welcome to reach out to us again on our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess the plague of our hearts. And I fully understand that in history, when gospel messages are preached, some may stiffen their hearts and get angry. But I pray that every last one who's heard your gospel has understood how good and kind you are. And today looks to Christ in the shelter and haven of rest. Lord Jesus, we come to you asking that you would shield us, comfort us, and give us peace. And we know that you said not one hail, not one piece of hail will strike your people. But instead you'll watch over them, caring for them, loving them, and bringing them home. You're so kind to us, and today we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.